want to share with you the fact that this morning in the Bible study class for the 11th and 12th graders, I had 31 students in class. And I think there were seven or eight that were out of town, not here. We have the potential to have almost 40 young people in the 11th and 12th grade. Well-behaved, fine group of young people. We appreciate our youth sitting here on these front seats, the work that Mike does with them, and I count it a privilege to be able to teach the classes of the young people and to be associated with them. Can you imagine that there will be a lot of congregations meeting today who won't have that many people present? Just think about the impact that this group of young folks can have on the church and on the world in the future. Tomorrow is Labor Day. What is Labor Day? One little boy said, Labor Day is the day you don't have to labor. When I think of that, and that's a pretty good definition, I guess, I think of a slumber party. That's one party that they do everything but slumber. Remember when our girls were younger and we had a slumber party and there wasn't much slumbering going on. Labor Day is a day that we don't have to labor. Many of us will not work tomorrow. It is a day, it's a holiday, but it's Labor Day. I think it is fitting that we stop this morning for a few minutes and think about the idea associated with Labor Day. Sometimes we talk about how we hate to go to work and we hate to work, but really we need to be appreciative of the opportunity to work. And that's really what's associated with making tomorrow a holiday, that we need to pause for just a few minutes and realize how well blessed we are in having our jobs and our careers and our opportunities to be able to work. So many people today who, because of health reasons, cannot and would like so much to be able to go to work Tuesday morning. There are some who don't have a job and would like very much to have one. Maybe we take too many things for granted. I want us to think this morning for just a few minutes in sort of an analysis of verse 3 that was read in our hearing a few minutes ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica and telling them that he remembers them. He remembers them in a positive way. And here in verse 3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. And he says these are in Jesus Christ and they're also associated with God the Father. Now, there were a lot of things that Paul could have remembered. In fact, he does mention other things at other places in this book and in the second letter. But it's interesting here in his introduction to the book, we might say, and in his greetings to them, that what he seems to remember the most is their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. He sort of revisits that idea in verses 9 and 10 when he says, I remember how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God, or true God, and to wait for the Son from heaven. He almost mentions the same thing again there, at least refers back to the basic idea when he says these things. It's also interesting that when John was writing the book of Revelation, Jesus was speaking through John, that at chapter 2 and verse 2, where he addresses the seven churches, and particularly in this case addresses Ephesus, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. It's interesting that it's the same three ideas, the same three concepts that are mentioned there at Ephesus that Paul mentions here to the Thessalonians. Work of faith, labor of love, and hope of patience. Many of you in the audience this morning are students at Fried Hardeman, other levels. Why are you a student? Why did you come to school? I'm sure there are several factors involved, but I would guess near the top of the list, and maybe the top of the list, as to why we go on into furtherance of education is because we want to be able to have a good career. We want to be able to have a good job, be able to work and be successful at that work. Why is the nation concerned today about the strike with Northwest Airlines? We're concerned because there are thousands of people now who are out of a job at this particular point. I'm not interested in discussing who's right or wrong. I'm not for sure that I even understand who might be right or wrong when these things happen. But I am sure that I understand that there are people out of work. There are people who are concerned about being able to meet their needs and their requirements in life. And so we are concerned. Why do we watch, at least to some extent, that little figure that's given on a regular basis about the unemployment rate in our country? And are pleased when it goes down and displeased when it goes up? Because it is really the percentage of people that are without a job. Why are we concerned? Because we know how important it is to be able to have a job, to have a career, to be able to work. Oh, sometimes we talk about we hate to get up in the morning and go to work, that it's a drudge, it's a difficult time. And yet when we really think it through, I believe we would admit that we need to look at it as an opportunity and as a blessing. Look at all the people in the world today who do not have an opportunity to go to work and make a living and take care of their responsibilities tomorrow or next day. A work of faith, a labor of love, and do it with patience of hope. Think for just a few minutes about this idea of a work of faith. The word work is emphasized throughout the Bible, as it was emphasized in our singing this morning in the songs that Gary has chosen. Even Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for night cometh when no man can work. John 9 and verse 4. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, that's work, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, 21. He said, if a man will not work, he doesn't really deserve to eat. Through Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Work is a part of life. It's something we need to teach our young folks. The value of it, the beauty of it, the importance of it. But here he says that this work is a work of faith. It's not just work, it's a work of faith. And that's important. Faith itself is said to be a work in John 6, 29. And faith is that foundation in that section that we call the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. The idea is that all of these developments, these points of development in our lives, will be done in a much better way if we bring them out of faith, and that's the reason. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith could not accomplish what was needed under the old law. There's a sense in which the inability to work out one's salvation under the old law led them to faith and looking forward to Jesus Christ, whereas our faith in Christ today leads us to good works. But he says it's the work of faith. Why do we work? Why will we go to the job Tuesday morning, or maybe some of us even tomorrow? There are people who work because they are fearful of the whip. I guess all of us have gone through that stage in life when we were younger. I'm pretty sure that if we admitted the truth, that each one of us would say there was a time when we did something because Dad and Mother made us do it. We didn't want to, we didn't like it, but we did it because we were afraid of the consequences. You've seen pictures at least, and maybe on a television program, those who are on the chain gang. And there's someone sort of over them with a whip. You either do this or you're going to reap the consequences. And so they do the work, certainly not because they like it, not because they want to, but because of fear of the whip. There are others who are involved in work because of hope for gain. And this is not necessarily bad. I suppose it is an element involved in all work that we do. We hope to be able to get a check at the end of the month or the week or the day, as the case may be. We're interested in benefits associated with the job. We hope to gain something. And so we go to work and we work hard, basically in order to have a paycheck. And there are some people who have a job like that. They really don't care about the job. They'd rather not have it. But they really need that paycheck. I was talking with someone just a day or two ago about a relative, and the comment was made that this relative is working at something that's really not what the person wants, and it's really not what the person prepared for in college, but didn't find anything else, and this was a job. This was a way to have a paycheck. And so sometimes we work because we have a hope of gain. It's possible to work out of a sense of duty. I think too many times perhaps we come to services of the church with that attitude and maybe get involved in certain programs of the church because I'm a Christian, I have a duty as a Christian to do it. And maybe Father goes to work in the morning with a sense of duty. I've got a family to support, so I've got a duty to go to work. I wish I didn't have to. I'd rather go fishing or do something else, but I've got a duty to my family, so I'm going to go to work out of a sense of duty. And maybe sometimes even you homemakers in the house approach it from that standpoint. You don't like to wash dishes, but you've got to do it. You don't like to do other things, but it's a duty. I'm married, so I accept it. It's a sense of duty. Well, there is a duty involved, and perhaps there ought to be a sense of duty on our part, but that's not the highest reason for work. If we work just because we're afraid of the whip or just because we want gain on our part or just because it's a sense of duty, I do not believe we can have the highest degree of success that's possible. He says it's a work of faith. We really believe in it. We really want to be involved in what we're doing. If a doctor, for example, is working with the idea that I believe I can help heal some people, I believe I can help save some lives. If the policeman is working with the attitude, I really think I can help people. I can be beneficial to the youth of the community, and I can help the safety of the community. And even those of us who preach the gospel, if we approach it from the standpoint, you know, I have something I believe is helpful to people, and I can tell them about it, and I can help bring people to Christ, and I can help the needs of people and caring for people. When we really believe in what we're doing, we really have faith in what we're doing. Whether it's the career, the home, the church, or whatever it is, we're going to do a better job. So he says, first of all, those of you at Thessalonica, I remember your work of faith. But then he says, I remember your labor of love. Maybe in one sense that's renaming the same thing, but there's more to it than that. Because the word labor that's used here is really a stronger word in the original language than the word work. It sort of carries with it the idea to cut, to lash. One definition says it means to even beat the bread, and it means to toil. And there's a built-in idea here that maybe it involves a little bit of sacrifice. It's not just going to the job to get the job done, but it's being willing to sacrifice and go that second mile or go a little further in what we do when he says that this labor is involved. One translation translates this loving service. I remember your labor of love. I remember your loving service. The reason behind what is done is done. A willingness, as we've already indicated, to be involved. Toil is not painful, not really painful, if it is prompted by love. And I suppose you mothers who've given birth understand that better than the rest of us. But even toil that would necessarily bring pain, might be pain that would be almost be unbearable, is still bearable because of the love that is involved. And when we can get to the point that we love our jobs and we love our occupations, we love our opportunity for service in the community, and we love our opportunity to serve as Christians, we'll be more successful in what we do. You see, if a person approaches a project, on the job or in some other way out of love instead of out of the specific details and requirements involved, it's a whole different picture. I was reading just recently where someone was describing a young lady who, with the help of her mother, had made her own wedding dress and was talking about how many hours went into the making of that dress. Days, months, hours and hours and hours. And yet neither one of them ever kept an account of how many hours were involved. They never even thought about why they were staying up late at night to get. They were doing it because of the love involved for the occasion and the people involved in that occasion. My wife, Judy, does a lot of painting of little porcelain Santa Clauses, things like that. Over the years, has made many, many dolls. Recently has been quilting on a very small quilt. I hope I don't have to pay her by the hour for that quilt. I would guess that it's past 1,000 now. She takes that quilt with us when we go in meetings. She's quilted on that quilt and it still lacks a little bit. I don't know how many hours, but that's never been considered, except when I sometimes jokingly consider it and mention it. Why do we do these things? Why are we willing to work hour in and hour out again and again and again when we're doing something for somebody we love? Because it is a labor of love. And when we get to the point that we realize, yes, we are responsible for providing the needs for our families, but it ought to be an opportunity instead of a responsibility, we'll enjoy life more. And if you're able to get up Tuesday morning and go to your job with the idea that I'm going to be able to bring home something to take care of my family, you'll enjoy it more. And even with that idea in Ephesians 4:28, let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may be able to give to him that hath need. If you get up and go to work and you stop and think about those who don't have an opportunity to go to work and those who do not even know that they'll be paid, I've read with interest and listened with interest to what seems to be happening in Russia. Seem to be so many people who go to work day in and day out and do not know if they'll ever get anything. And when they get it, it's so little, sometimes do not receive that which would even be just according to their standards. Folks, when we look at this like a labor of love, and we realize that love is involved in our work, we'll do a better job and we'll enjoy it more. And then he says, patience and hope. It takes a lot of patience to be able to do a job and do it well because sometimes we're not appreciated like we'd like to be. You may feel like you're not appreciated on your job. Sometimes in the work of the church, we may feel like we're not appreciated for what we do. But he says, just be patient and just hope. There is patience in hope. Sometimes maybe we feel like we're not rewarded even in pay like we should be. And there is a tendency, especially when we're younger and we're beginning the career, to want to go to the top too fast. Sometimes I think we want to start out at least at vice president. And we're not patient as we should be in our careers and in our jobs. And maybe in the work of the church, we're not as patient as we should be. Remember, he said, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Sometimes all the harvest doesn't come in this month. The sad thing about it is sometimes people are not appreciated until they're gone. We honestly do not give our flowers while people are living. But as we look at this from the personal standpoint, Paul is saying we need to be patient. We need to have hope. Because you see, it is that hope that makes it possible for us to not feel like we're laboring in the night, but rather we're laboring toward the dawn. In those darkest moments in life, if we'll just look up and look ahead, we remember that dawn comes in the morning. And sometimes it's that laboring through the night that makes us ready and to be prepared and to receive the blessings when that dawn comes. He says we need to learn to be patient. There is a calmness in this patient when we know that we're working in faith and laboring in love. Because, you see, there is that promise. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we really have that faith and that love that we've just discussed, then we ought to have the hope to go with it and be patient in that hope and believe that there will be the appreciation and there will be the reward that is deserved when the time comes. Work of faith, labor of love, patient in hope. I think in a sense he's saying first you need to have the right type of work. Work of faith. You need to have the right attitude toward it, a labor of love. And when you do, you'll necessarily have the right results if you're patient in hope. Work of faith, labor of love, and patient in hope. But notice in this verse something that's extremely important. He says that this work of faith, this labor of love, and this patience of hope is in Christ Jesus and in God the Father. That may be the reason sometimes that we don't have these things in proper focus. We may not have our lives right with God and with Christ. The only real reason to work and labor and hope is because of Christ and the promises that are associated with Him. If you're not in Christ, to where your labor and love and work of faith is in Him, or if you've gone astray from Him, you need to come back to Him today, to be baptized into Him or to return to Him, as together we stand and sing.
Would Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all?